It's just a blessing from on high. Let me see if I can get this button here turned on. How's that? Has that got anything yet? All right. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Second John. Not St. John, but 2 John. And we'll be looking there. And it's after, you know, it's not the book of John. It's not the 1 John, but this is 2 John. And we're going to be looking there if you find the place and you're able to stand in that chapter. All right. Now, in verse 1, the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom that I love in the truth, and not I only, but all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth, and as ye have received a commandment from the Father. Now look over there, if you will, please, in about verse 7. He said, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. That is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look unto yourselves that ye lose not those things which we have wrought, but that ye receive full reward. Whosoever transgresseth that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and to speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. And we thank you for the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God to lead, guide, and direct us therein. Now bless, I pray, these that have gathered tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while and on an old thought, on some things that you can lose and still be saved. You know, we're talking about gaining this and losing that and so forth and all. These are some things that you can lose. Do you realize, though, that when we begin to look into the Bible, you'll find Paul the Apostle, as we were looking there in verse number 13, and you'll find there was many things in verse 12 and 13 that he said, I would talk to you, but they're too numerous to be able to mention and to pin down. I'll wait until I'm face to face. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that you'll find the wicked person and the worshiper are found in verse number 9 in the same passage of Scripture. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you what God's talking about. His eye is upon the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me tell you that whenever God looks at the word of the Lord, he's looking at his son. When he looks at his son, he's looking at the word of the Lord. Make no mistake about it, you're going to find out is that one of these days that the wicked's going to be manifested for who they are. And let me tell you, they abide not in the doctrine of Christ, but those who know him will abide in the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is a great subject. In fact is, you'll find that it's free. Salvation, if you're here tonight and you've got grace in your heart, you've been saved by the grace of God, salvation's a free thing. Nothing you can do to deserve it. Nothing you can do to be able to put a premium on it. Let me tell you, you're going to find the salvation's free. It's by the grace of God. Not only that, but you'll find it's for everyone that will receive it. Now, you're sitting here tonight that if you have not yet received the grace of God, then the problem lies with you. If you're a child of God tonight, you heard about the grace of God, you received the grace of God, and God gave you repentance, and God gave you faith to believe in him. I'll tell you something, is that salvation not only free, but it's everlasting to those that will receive it, and everyone who will receive it can receive it by the grace of God. I was thinking about in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out, there's people in the day and hour that we're living in that are preachers of truth. There are those that are believers of truth, and there are those that reject the truth. I hope you're not one of them in that category, because make no mistake about it, if you reject all there is to do in this world, then you'd better not reject the Lord Jesus Christ if you plan to miss hell and make heaven. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that God's eye is upon the truth. Verse number 1, he mentioned it. Verse 2, that he mentioned it. Verse 3, that he mentioned it. Verse 4, he talked about walking in truth. And I want to tell you something. If you love the truth, you're living in the truth. And if you don't live in the truth, you don't love the truth. Let me say to you, truth is the bond of affection. That's what verse number 1 that we've read talks about. Truth, if you will, please, you'll find that whenever he mentioned it, it's always in the beginning. Look in verse 5. He said, "Now I beseech you, ladies, though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that we have had from the beginning, that we love one another." I'll tell you what the truth of God does. It makes you want to look at yourself. It makes you want to care about others. It makes you want to love the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. I got to say to you that in this lesson, it's a pretty weighty subject when he talks about the doctrine of Christ. Do you realize that? No. Is it God's eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon his compassion? It's upon his commandments that he's given by God through his Son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I got to tell you something, is that when you begin to look into the Bible, by the time we get up to verse number 7, you're going to find out that his eye then is on Jesus Christ and who it is that we're keeping company with. Do you realize that, though, that if you run with the wrong crowd, they'll corrupt your mind? They'll vex you in your innermost being, and you'll not be any good to the Savior, to yourself, or to anybody else around you. It's good to know him in the free pardon of sin. I was thinking about whenever we looked into it, if you're loving the truth tonight, you're living in the truth. And let me tell you something, is that you'll not only line up with it, but you'll be thankful unto God that you might be able to have your affection thrown upon him because he careth for you. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, God has got his eye upon verse 7, upon the company that we're keeping. Many deceivers are entered into the world, confess not that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh and is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, I want to tell you, is that you wouldn't want to be running with a crowd like that. You know, it's our nature, you that are sitting here right now tonight, it's our nature to want to be kind and courteous to people that we meet. It's our nature to not want to snub and to be ugly. You know, I've got some people that hate my guts that I've had in days gone by that I pastored. Every now and again, I'll see one of them in Walmart. Doesn't make Walmart any better, I can tell you. But at the same time, you just have to be able to learn to grin and to bear and so forth and on, and to realize that, no, that God's still running everything right on time and so forth and on. But I want to tell you something you're going to find is that if you're a person that confesses Christ, you love the Word, and you walk in the Word, and let me tell you, the deceivers and the antichrist, they care nothing about God, the Bible, good, right, moral, or decent. I notice in verse number 7, by their own confession, he said, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." Now watch this here. When Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, you'll find, became a man. And he took upon himself the form of humanity. And Jesus Christ, whenever you look at that, you'll find is that there are those that don't want to believe him. In other words, like the Jehovah's Witness, they don't believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now, do you realize that, though, that God said that when a person brings you another doctrine that's contrary to the doctrine of God, you ought not to bid them God's speed, and you ought not to invite them into your house. I've known young preachers in days gone by and think, man, I'm going to win this. And I've spent hours and hours when I was but a young preacher. And I spent hours and hours trying to be able to talk. I talked with one man one night for over 4 hours. I thought he never would leave. And I thought, you know, somehow or another, I'm going to get to this guy if he can be gotten to. He couldn't. He wasn't. He didn't. He used to be and used to was a Baptist. You know what most Baptists that don't get saved do? Go to a false religion. They end up being in a false religion and then bragging about, "I have you to know, I used to be a Baptist. I used to be a bastard Baptist. But now born again, washed by the blood, and born into the family of God." Now, the Bible said that whosoever confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh. Now, you know, that's a present tense word, is. Not was, like all the other versions you're going to put out there. And over in the book of 1 John, I believe it's in chapter number 4, you'll find, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That's a present tense word. Jesus was born in the flesh. He lived in the flesh. He walked on this earth in the flesh. He went to Calvary's old rugged cross. They crucified him in the flesh. He died, bowed his head, gave up the ghost. Then he resurrected the third day victoriously and gloriously to be able to win victory over death, hell, and the grave. He ascended and went back to heaven, and he's sitting in the right hand of the Father in the flesh tonight. Now, all the other religions and imps of hell don't believe that. They'll tell you, where is he? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Well, you mean tell me you think he's in the flesh? What the Bible says. Now, let me tell you right now, make no mistake about it. The Bible said there are those that deny that, the validity of that, and that you'd better not be hanging around with that kind of crowd, because if you don't confess Christ with all of your heart and your soul, there's a place that's called hell that awaits you, and what a sad commentary that will be upon you. We're either going to choose Christ or you're going to choose the Antichrist. That's it, one or the other. There's no other ground. There's no other choice. And make no mistake about it, you're going to say in verse number 8, look to yourselves. Do you realize that, oh, that if you die without the Lord, you're going to spend eternity without the Lord, and it's going to be nobody's fault but your own. You can't blame it on a Sunday school teacher. You can't blame it on the preacher. You can't blame it on a parishioner. You can't blame it on anybody but ye yourself. If so be you die without the Lord. If you live without the Lord and die without the Lord, you're going to spend eternity without the Lord. Make no mistake about it. Now, that's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And let me tell you something, is that as a child of God, and you've got a good testimony, when you came to know the Lord, you got washed by the blood and born into the family of God. Now, when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, you'll find that a Christian may lose some reward. You can lose a reward. That's not your salvation. You can lose your rewards and still be saved. Let me tell you right now, is that's the reason why that he talked about over there that our works would be tried so as yet by fire over there in the book of 1 Corinthians. You'll find that. And yet you'll find that a man's works are going to be tried. And if they suffer loss, you'll be saved yet so as by fire. But if they be burned up, that is, then you have no reward. In this lesson, you're going to find out the Unitarian groups, then the liberal group, the unsaved Jew, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Buddhists, and et cetera, that do not believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God and that he's washed by the blood and born into the family of God and he's a child of God by birth and by supernatural birth. I want to say to you that, if you will, that your testimony means a lot. You're going to have to realize and recognize and know that your testimony ought to be as such to where others could see Jesus in you. They ought to want to hear what you had to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. Your lip and your life ought to be what manifests unto them. There's a difference between just being religious and made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. I want to say to you that it's one thing to preach to people. It's another thing whenever you go to trying to have dialogue and ecumenicalism and trying to mix all that business together. God said you're not going to mix that together. What you're going to have to do is, if you're either going to gain reward or you're going to lose reward. There's a passage in Revelation, and it's in chapter number 3, and it's about verse 11 that I wanted to look at it with. And in chapter number 3 and in verse number 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man can take thy crown. You know, you may lose a crown because it's a reward. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you can be saved yet so as by fire. Now, I'm hoping you'd want more out of life than just that. Do you realize to know that in the day and life that we're living in, there's people all the way around us. There's people that we're going to come in contact with. And if you're not careful, you'll let them influence you the wrong direction. See? I remember in the day I lived in, I knew a preacher, we'll not call his name, but I knew a preacher, and buddy, he had both rows on the front row lined up with people that had surrendered to preach and all that business. You go to his meeting, buddy, they'd have a shout out, and you could always tell when it was coming on. I'd lean over and tell my wife, and I'd say, all right, here, it's fixing to happen, right? It's fixing to happen probably the next verse. And they got up and had a hooping time, a good time, and all that business there. And I'm not against that. I just knew that it wasn't real. I knew some of it was probably real, but most of it was not real. Do you know that those preachers, I used to use some of them, they'd come over and stay with us. We lived in Simsport, Louisiana. And they'd preach over in the prison. And sometimes I'd go there and preach with them and so forth, sometimes just by myself, but I'm just saying to you that, if you will, that those guys, they came, and they were pretty knowledgeable, pretty smart. There was an old man that I told you about by the name of Marvin Stone. He lived in Natchez, Mississippi. Old Marvin lived and died there, built a big church, was an influence to Galen Dawson, and an influence to some other preachers there that won them to the Lord and so forth and on. By the way, did I tell you that Brother Galen's wife died, this last wife that he's got? If I didn't tell you, I'm telling you now. When I called him, I usually call him about once a month, and I said, well, and he talked about this and that and all that, and you know, and glory to God, and hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus. And, well, Brother Galen, what about your wife? She died about, I didn't tell you. I didn't call you and tell you. She died about a month ago. He said, I tell you, Brother Dennis, I don't know. He said, it's got me now. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, I've had three wives and all of them have died. It's going to be hard for me to get anybody else interested in me. And so I said, well, I guess so. I guess so. And all that right there. And all that business. Anyhow, the long and short of it was, old Brother Mark, and here's the way he done business. Here's the way old Brother Marvin did it. All right. I want you, Glenda, and you, you, Bobby, and so forth, and I want all of you to stand up. I've done warned you. You've been running your mouth. Goodbye. You're dismissed. Well, anyhow, old Brother Glenn Bazeron at that time, that was his name, he'd go preach over in the prison, but this guy's name was David. And old David, I thought, was a real Christian. And he said, man, I'll tell you, Brother Dennis, Brother Marvin was too hard on that congregation. He said, they just love me and treat me like I'm a king. About a month later, he was walking along, dragging his little tail that they had chewed just about off. I said, hey, this ain't that same church that you're praying about now and that you're leaving now, that you bragged about had been misused by old Brother Stone. Now you know why God raised up such a tough man for Brother Stone's church. And it looks like nobody else is going to be able to take care of that for a little while. Now, you'll find that same man that spent many a night in our home, a likable fellow. Him and his wife, likable people. When you go back over there now, they're down up the street from whence they were supposedly saved from. You can smell them smoking dope and riding motorcycles and this and that. Not that riding a motorcycle makes you a dope smoker, but I'm going to have to get on something to get on one of them. Anyhow, it's sad. It would break your heart. I want to say all of that to be able to say this, is that you're going to find out that we live in a world that if you get around the wrong kind of people long enough, they will vex your righteous soul from day to day, and that's what God is trying to tell us about. I want to say in closing that, if you will, if you're a child of God, you ought to have the joy of the Lord. If you've got the joy of the Lord, you've got a witness. People ought to be wondering what you're grinning about and what you're so happy about and about the service of the Lord that you're involved in. I got to tell you something. When you begin to look into this Bible, you begin to recognize and know is that when we came out of Egypt like Israel did and we were saved from the bondage of sin and the bondage of Satan, let me tell you, it does something when you've got life, the life of Jesus Christ living in your heart, and you ought to be able to show it to others. I'm not talking about soul winning. I'm talking about being a witness with your lip and life. That's what I'm talking about. I want to say in closing, we're ready for the Lord to be able to come. And in the book of Revelation, chapter number 22, I'll finish up with that passage that's there. And here's what he says in that lesson. In Revelation 22, the Bible said in verse number 12, "And behold, I come quickly." That's the Lord Jesus talking. "And my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments." Now you realize that there's no blessing for knowing about his commandments, but those that do his commandments, as they have right to the tree of life, and they may enter in through the gates into the city. I got to tell you right now is that I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. Paul the apostle knew that whenever he got ready to depart and leave this world, that he had a crown of righteousness laid up for him in glory, not only for me, but for those that love his appearing. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. I'm glad I know some saved people to be able to run with. And all of that business there. And as a result of that, you know, as you get a little bit older, I realize I know right now you fellas are young and you're full of vitality and vigor and whatever else and so forth and on. But you know, when you go to getting a little older, you'll get a little slower. And when you get a little slower, there'll be times you'll sit down and be able to get a lot of instruction from your wife. My wife will tell me all the time, "I need to get a hearing aid." Well, I'm not getting one. She's even wanting me to borrow Brother Rocky's hearing aid. I said, "He's not wearing them. Why should I?" No, she doesn't really want that. I told her when she was walking away and I said something, "What?" I said, "Who needs that hearing aid now?" "Well, yeah, I was walking away from you and all of that. And I can't hear you when I'm walking away from you." So they say. A lot of people say it, though. I just wanted to say to you that, if you will, is that, you know, the older you get, the more dependent you'll be one upon another. That's just the way that it is. I mean, that's a fact of life. I'm glad to know him, and I'm glad to have a saved wife, and I'm glad to be able to have people in a congregation that we can fellowship with and know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. It's good to do that. Just good to do that. I wonder tonight, maybe you're here and you say, "Preacher, I've never trusted the Lord like you're talking about." Well, this would be a good time for you to examine your heart. You know, it doesn't have to be tonight. You ain't got to walk down the aisle to get it. You can just ask God into your heart and save your soul and then make it known. Whatever the need is, God is able to meet that need. All right, let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you now for...